views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I want to thank everyone for their donation of Women of Wisdom through the Give Big Seattle, which was this last Wednesday. We raised $5,500, and the giving is still continuing with donations you can make through our website at womenofwisdom.org. And we thank you for that, to consider Women of Wisdom as one of your organizations that, you know, empowers women around the world to find their voices and share their gifts. Well, my guest today is also doing the same thing, is Lynn Singer. Lynn was born with a special voice and an ear for spoken language. For over 30 years, she has helped people find their voice. She taught acting, speech, and voice at Yale, NYU, the New School, Circle in the Square, the Actors and Directors Lab, the Jean Frankel Theater, and at the T. Schreiber Studio in New York City. She works with a wide range of clients, from Tony, Emmy, Golden Globe, Pulitzer Prize, and Fulbright winners, and also Fortune 500 companies and top business and management executives. Lynn was a well-known voice of radio and television commercials for two decades and has appeared off-Broadway on television and film. Lynn currently offers private and group acting, voice, and diction classes through her long-established VoiceWorks practice. In her more than 30 years of experience, Lynn has facilitated the awakening of creative consciousness in her students. And she recently wrote Breaking into Brilliance, An Awakening of Creative Consciousness. It's an online, multimedia, multisensorial experience of creative consciousness, and also will be coming out in a soft cover book in just a few weeks. Documents her journey while simultaneously guiding others through theirs. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. Well, that sounded like I did a lot, and I sounded a little like it's a lot to do still. So thank you very much for that intro.
It's amazing when we hear it spoken to us. Well, I want you to tell your story. So how did you find voice and passion, the passion to be an actor and to be, you know, voice is an important thing of you, and being a teacher for others to find their voice? How did that come about for you? In a short story.
I had an incident when I was 26 years old. I always had this voice, and people were always expecting that, more than I was expecting, that I'd be doing something with it. But I did have an incident with, I had like some kind of psychotic incident or breakdown. I don't know what they would be calling it this day. Every few years it changes. But it opened me up to a greater understanding of the universe. And it also opened me up to whatever demons I had to look to and clean out, you know, deal with. So like the top open, the bottom open, and it was very scary, but I became a different person in that I could read things more clearly. I developed more sense of things. And the most powerful thing that happened during that time, besides having to kind of integrate new pieces of myself, was that within a few months I was in acting class. It was my heart's desire, and I had always been pushed and pulled by people to do it, but I hadn't done much of it. It was, the power of it was frightening to me, and I was on stage suddenly. And that was extraordinary. And it really put me in touch with the core of my passion and the core of what I was here for, what I needed to do. I went into a very strong understanding of transformational work that I had to do in myself, art, that I had to take it very seriously, and communicating with others what I was learning and how to help them really negotiate it in themselves. Because I have found with most of my students, I've had thousands of students, and most of them, not all of them, but most of them have run away from that passion of their own, that core, the thing that they've come to the earth to do has been either too frightening to face, or when they did face it, then that was even too frightening. So in a nutshell, that's what happened.
Yeah, well, amazing story. So and this book documents your journey. So I'd love for you to share what there. I'm sure there was lessons even just in creating this book, more profound things that you learned about yourself.
Well, yes, there was one very strong, profound thing that I could really write. I had been around writers my whole life. I had lived with a young poet, beautiful lyrical poet. I've known well-known writers, and no matter who told me I could write, I couldn't believe them. And this book came out of a dream. My dearest friend is in Tel Aviv, and she called one day and she said, I dreamt you published a book. It was a big book, and there was cartoons, and there was photos, and I had no idea what she was really talking about, and I actually went to Israel to see her and to sit down with her and talk to her about it, because she had been prophetic before about things, not just about me, but with other people. And we talked about it, and it was like, okay, you know, I'm getting it. I'm getting what I might do with this. And it was a challenge because it meant writing. I've also done a lot of photography. I've done photography with the Greek government. So I had a lot of photos, and I had a lot of drawings that I had done for myself and also in the different therapeutic situations I had been in. And I began just pasting down into a big art book. And I then was writing, and I was realizing, though I've written my whole life, I'd never taken it seriously, that piece that I was always teaching, another part of myself that I wasn't taking seriously. And I began to see that if I wrote in this fashion, in this way, of these, I call them attractions, they're not chapters, so to speak, and they are connected to my own growth and art and therapy and spirit, that if I challenged myself and I wrote in this way, it was really quite easy. It's kind of stream of consciousness writing that people tell me is very poetic. So that was a huge gift. And when I was at the keyboard, it would just come out of me. I didn't know what to do with it. One of my students who'd become a friend, who was a writer himself and actually award-winning writer, I showed it to him and I said, I don't know how to structure this. And he immediately saw the titles of the structure, the unconsciousness, the breakthrough, and onto the freedom, the last attraction. So I learned that I could write. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's great. And you're kind of sharing it's a multidimensional book. And how did that come about? Because it's a journey of the senses, and there's so much, so many aspects of it.
I think unconsciously, I was saying to myself, and I wasn't aware of this, but I really had so much faith in my friend who had this dream, and she was an actress, and she still is there, an actress and dancer, choreography, and was, you know, very strong in her visions. And I let myself get guided as much as anywhere else or anything else I'd ever done by my unconsciousness, by my dream life, by my intuition. And I knew that I couldn't just do a book. It wasn't what was being asked. I intuited this. And I remember sitting we have a roof garden in my building, and I remember sitting with one of my friends there saying, there's something else that I know is needed here to make this alive. I need to probably voice it. That was the first thing I recognized. Of course, I've done all these voiceovers, you know, and people are always interested in my voice, and that's going to sell the book. So, and I remember her saying, well, what else can we do? What else should you put in there? And we both thought of, like, videos. Okay, video should go in there. And then I thought, well, maybe it won't be able to hold videos. I wanted to put everything in. It was like the kitchen sink was going to go in. You know, anything that anybody wanted to use to spur their own creativity, because the subtitle is An Awakening of Creative Consciousness, that we are just vastly creative beings. So that began a whole other thing, thinking about video. And what video turned into was animation. And then I don't remember, and I absolutely do not remember when I recognized that we needed to have some kind of an interactive journal where people could write. I wanted film in there. I wanted music in there. I wanted everything, but the technology is not there yet so that people could be able to open it. It would have taken a year to open the book online. It's technology that's in place. Some of it, I think, is in place with children's stories, or certainly what I found out what I was doing was in children's books, but it doesn't seem like it's been done before, or there hasn't been many of them for adults, that it's interactive and it's voiced and it's animated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the brilliance of it too. It's a, I mean, you're talking about breaking into brilliance, but it's wonderful to have that multi-dimension aspect of it. And we're going to get more.
All the senses, right?
Yeah. So when we come back, I want to have you share more. What are the tools? Because you in this, you put a lot of tools and help people examine their lives. And and we'll get into this when we come back from our little short commercial break.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's danacanetto.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to the hit show Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind. Treat the Body and Expand the Soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. Imagine 3 days in a hand-built log home nestled in the Cascade Mountain. Activate the collaboration between the body and spirit and allow the accelerated connection as one of the most powerful ways to light up your cells, honor the body's needs in this all-inclusive event. Visit lynnmbrown.com or call 206-931-7356.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I am speaking with Lynn Singer today, author of Breaking into Brilliance and Awakening of Creative Consciousness. And Lynn, your whole book is a creative consciousness project that you did. And I said we'd come back. I want you to share, you know, some of the tools that you use in the book to help people examine their lives. Like you said, there's a handbook. So actually, what's really interesting in this online book, you can actually, you know, it doesn't look like it, but you actually write. You have people write things, and you can just write in it and then save it and print it, too.
Right. Yes, because the book is a subscription. And you can see it. They can see a trailer. The audience can see a trailer of it. BreakingIntoBrilliance.com is where the book is for sale, and there's a one-minute trailer. There's because it's subscription, you have a lifetime work with it. It's always there for you, and you can write in it and answer whatever questions or whatever that I've put out and whatever thoughts come up to you. You can also take out my visual and put in your own. I wanted to have, you know, music in there, anything, everything and anything that people wanted to bring in, but it would have been too heavy. I think links can go in as well now, too, certain links, you know, for poems or other kind of writings. And you can also bring them in. It's very exciting, actually. I've had some people, we've already had people work with it, and it's really very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love the animation, like, you know, you don't realize sometimes all of a sudden you're seeing a picture and go, wait a minute, that bird just moved. And it's kind of surprising, you know, or there was an ocean uh-huh. wave moving, or I forget them all, but there was these little very subtle movements in the graphics, in the pictures that you put in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun.
And I was wanting that to just, you know, the more sensorial things that can be with us when we are looking to change and to look to ourselves for new ways of being, the more, you know, certain people are sensorial, certain people hear, certain people see, you know, everything is different. Everyone is different. And I wanted to have enough in there that would enhance and excite those senses that everybody needs to, that would inform new ways of being.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just answered my next question, because of how you know, bring senses to it, and they're very important to you. One of the other things is you really work with people exploring changing their thoughts, changing thoughts to create your reality. And so let's talk about that, how you feel about that, and what you have in the book about that.
Well, I've done a lot of work with the divine feminine, the new, which you are doing, you know, in your work, bringing in the information about the divine feminine, so which is the creative side, the right side of the brain. And also I've done a lot of work with quantum physics and the creative side of us, the female brain, is much more open to looking for new ideas and new ways of thinking. It is very circular in its thinking, whereas the left brain is very straightforward. The male side is like a straight line down the line. And within that, I have incorporated within that the understanding from quantum physics, which is our thoughts create reality. So we are capable of changing ourselves through the creative bringing to ourselves of new ways of being. The old forms don't necessarily work for us, the old ways that we were brought up in an educational system that told us, you know, black and white, what to do, 1 and 1 equals 2. And I think a lot of times 1 and 1 equals 3, you know, we've got to find another way of finding our way into the world. And quantum physics is very clear about it. And it is in the book. I quote Amit Aswami, who's a physicist, that atoms are just possibilities. Nothing is actually written in stone until we write it in stone. And bringing in new ways in that way is very powerful, like in the book, to be writing down new ideas that you have for how you want your life to be. Making that three-dimensional reality of putting it down on paper is very, very important. So creating it, thinking it, visualizing it, and writing it is a way in which to bring new ways to ourselves. I had a great fortunate ability and a moment in that I taught myself this. I was in a very important, well, that was not an important class, but I was working with a teacher who was considered very important for acting. And I was so nervous about working with her that in the very first time I had to put up a scene, I went to a little window in the studio that we were working in, and I saw the scene go twice before I ever had to get into the room to put it up. And by the time, and it was so clear to me, I saw all the mistakes that we possibly could make. I was remaking it. I just saw it go perfectly. And when we got to do it, it was beautiful. And I had no notes. I had to actually bring to the teacher, well, what about that moment? I wasn't totally secure in that moment. And so it works. Visualization works. You have to feel it. You can't just think it. You have to feel it. You have to bring in that being to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was a very exciting moment.
Well, one of the things that you did in the book around that is you have a picture of a whole bunch of rocks. And one of your statements is the rocks of guilt, anger, and fear in our minds can be removed. Visualize these rocks dissolving. And in the picture, it's one of your movement pieces, you see them dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real visual of like, oh yeah, you know, mm-hmm. and you write, you know, what turns into sand, you know, so we can look at, and partly when you talk about it is visualizing, but also it's releasing the old beliefs and ideas.
And that's hard to do, you know,
yeah.
we have to really, when they come up, when we start saying, oh yeah, okay, I don't want to see him and I don't want to see her and I don't want to do that. It's like there's the moment of consciousness is to question yourself. Like, that's the way you used to do it. Do you want to continue to do it that way? And it's a very powerful thing to do. And it takes a lot of consciousness. It takes a lot of understanding of who we are and looking at ourselves without judgment and without a lot of criticism, but just say, oh, you've walked that path already. Do you really want to do it again? You know? And it's amazing what can change when you begin to ask those questions of yourself.
Yeah, you talk about to look at your own story objectively, to recognize the patterns, and these patterns usually come from our childhood, you know, our stories,
right.
and then we continue that cycle until we really deal with that core issue that created the mm-hmm. pattern, you know, whether it's response mm-hmm. to our parents or our siblings or, you know, how people talk to us, and so that's that aspect of that of releasing those patterns and, you know, that hard look at yourself.
The hard look is hard, and it also means that you have to question, again, without judgment, where you came from. You know, a lot of people just say, well, you know, I'm going to the next world, or I'm going to Europe, and I'm never coming back. I'm never seeing anybody again. That's my only way of dealing with it. I don't think that makes that's the best choice, you know. You have to know what you got from the situation, what you learned from a situation that might be might have been really terrible, and you might have learned something from it, and then have a different response to it. And it's hard to do that when there are situations that are really grim. But I think that it's necessary.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is that desire to run away and not, you know, but that's, if you go move to Europe, sounds romantic, sounds great, but your problems and your patterns are going to follow you.
You go with it. You go right with it, right? Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that you ask people to do is to write about living things that inspire them, such as plants, animals, humans. What was your greatest inspiration or who?
Well, I've had a lot. I've had some very strong artists around me. And when I was young, when I was very, very young, films were the most inspiring thing to me, and dancing. Those are the things that I love the most, and literature. And I had some very good writers around me when I was very young, so I always was inspired by some of my friends. But I was very inspired by film. And I've studied literature, film, and theater in college, and it was a very exciting time because the San Francisco Film Festivals were always on every year, and we would be meeting people, and we would be the ushers, and we would meet the actors, and we'd meet the directors, and there was always people in front of me my whole life from the time I was very young who were doing things that were very strong. It wasn't necessarily in my family, but it was in my friends, and it was in where I grew up. There was some strength that I could look to. I remember when I was 11 years old, and Thornton Wilder lived nearby, who was a great writer, won a Pulitzer, and he had been in Hollywood for a while, but mostly he was known for his stage plays. And we were putting up one of his plays in my junior high school, and there was this old, sad man sitting in the back of the house. And I remember walking out to go somewhere, and I was so aware that I was in the presence of somebody so special. I couldn't speak to him. I was so nervous, but I was so heightened by his presence and knowing that this man had come to see our little play. And what did that mean? And I was aware of this when I was like 10 years old, 11 years old. So there was always this kind of inspiration going on around me.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm sorry I have to interrupt because we have to go to break again.
Here we go.
Yeah, but a great story, and you had so many role models around you. Well, stay tuned. We'll come back and talk more with Lynn Singer.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/global foundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Lynn Singer. She's the author of an online experiential book, Breaking into Brilliance, An Awakening of Creative Consciousness. It'll also be coming out in a few weeks in a softcover. Give your website again, Lynn, where people can sign up to be part of this book, online book.
It's breakingintobrilliance.com. And they can buy the book, and they can also see the products for teaching. I work in workshops. I'm doing free webinars. There's gifts. If you give me your email, and there are gifts. And I also will be doing in-person workshops as well, mm-hmm. two-day workshops of Breaking into Brilliance. And I'm developing an online course of Breaking into Brilliance.
Yeah, that's
BreakingIntoBrilliance.com. It's a teaching tool. The book is a teaching tool. I've been teaching my whole life. I mean, transformation, art, and communication is what I've done my whole life. And, that's where the book is going to take us, into new ways, new avenues. That's what I've written it for, to help wake up a creative consciousness.
Well, I want you to talk about that because, what does it mean? It's something that you've talked about, to become a fully conscious human being. It's something we work our whole lives for. But how does one begin that process?
Well, for becoming a fully conscious, I'm working on being a creative conscious human being. And how do we begin that process, I think, is getting to know ourselves very well. But first, I want to back off just saying, back that thought up, saying that we are all vastly creative beings. And most of us don't recognize that. We think that creativity means art. But the word creativity and the word art really are two different things. An artist has to have their creativity, but creative beings don't necessarily make art. They just create their life. I mean, we are the David. We are, the David that we're creating. So every single moment is a creation. And every single thing we have in our apartments, outside of us, what we wear, everything is a part of what we are creating to be in our life. The quantum physicists are telling us that nothing is written in stone, that nothing actually has the weight we think it has, that possibly everything we're in is a hologram that we are creating. So these are amazing ideas to me. It's like the Aborigines in Australia believe that we are in dream time, that we are truly creating it like a dream. what we are living in, we're creating a dream. And I think that's a pretty amazing way of thinking about things, because I know for myself, it helps me to be more conscious of what I do with my choices. If I'm creating my life and I'm creating everything around me that's here, it's in my consciousness, then I have the power of making all these kind of choices. And I have the power of looking at where I've come from in a whole new way and where I'm going in a whole new way. And that's, for me, a creative consciousness. And it leads to helping us become fully conscious human beings. I don't know if we ever become a fully conscious human being before we leave the planet. But that's a whole other, I think that's a whole other conversation.
Well, you mentioned dreams, and in the book, you share a lot of your dreams. And mm-hmm. and also, you know, how important they are to have a deeper connection to the self. What does that tell us about our true nature?
I think dreams are incredible. I think that it's the subconscious material talking to us. How do we dream? You know, what is a dream? And how did this begin? I mean, did it begin in some year in our evolution? You know, it's just extraordinary to me that we have these little films every night. We don't always remember them, and we can train ourselves to remember them. And they are, I think they are an awakening. They are something that is a call to action. Even the worst nightmare has information in it that is a call to action. And it's hard to understand sometimes the symbolism of a dream. For instance, I had a dream last week in which I was told the numbers in my liver were getting better. And I woke up and I thought, what in the world does that mean? And then I realized that the liver is about anger. And so my anger was dissipating. And I liked that, right? That was like a very mm-hmm. positive way of talking to me. It was connected to a particular event and a particular person that I was working on releasing, right? So that's how my dream told me that I was getting better about that event. And, of course, we can say, well, can't you just give me a phone call in the middle of the dream and say, you're doing really good work and, you know, keep it up and it is getting better. But it comes in abstractions and in symbols, and we have to learn to read it. And I really promote people to keep a dream diary, because the more they write them down, the more we all write our dreams down, we go back, like say in a month, and read it again, the information will come to us. Our intuition will grab a hold of the dream in a new way when we read it again, and we'll be able to understand it more. Or we can work with somebody like me who helps you with dreams. I think it's a fabulous way of understanding your life.
Yes, yeah, and having a dream journal, like you say, it's, of course, for a lot of people, it's hard to remember our dreams, and there's times I remember them and sometimes I don't, but...
There's ways in which people can. If you just stay with yourself when you wake up and you know you've dreamt and you can't remember it and you're not sure of it, and you just stay with yourself for a few seconds, one image might start to come to you, and that might be enough for the day. You know, there are courses now in lucid dreaming. I've only had a couple of lucid dreams. One actually starts breaking into brilliance. Mm-hmm. It's more an astral dream. It's close to a lucid dream. Mm-hmm. But we can be taught how to be in our dreams and to know we're dreaming and to change what's going on in the dream. That's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. And be aware of that. Well, and I'd like to move to another aspect that you do some of the shamanic tradition in the book, and you talk about animals that come to us in dreams or walk through our life. They represent known and unknown parts of ourselves. So what have you learned from your power animals? We call them power animals in the shamanic tradition, I know.
Well, first of all, I've had a lot of animals that weren't my power animals, but evidently your power animals also can change. You know, different times in your life you have different animals. But my animals, I've learned to trust and believe more in who I am through the animal. I have my one animal is a rabbit, and I've always thought rabbits were just about fear. But rabbits are, in fact, about the moon, about creativity, and about fecundity. And the fear part is because they can stand so still that their predators might not see them. You know, they can just freeze in a moment. So that has been connected to being frightened. But they have this kind of magic about them. I've read a lot about my rabbit. Mm-hmm. And I had to take myself as the rabbit much more. I had much more interest in the rabbit and more respect for the rabbit. The rabbit was just another little animal. It wasn't like an exotic animal. But the more I began to read about the rabbit and the rabbit as a power animal, the more it became very exotic to me. And I was like, ooh, I'm of the moon. That's very nice. I like that the moon, the feminine, the art, the opening to that. And another animal is a bird. I have a bird. And it's an ability to go between heaven and earth. So, and that is something which I have an ability to do, that I can be here, do my work here, but I'm also able to call in my guides and to help me. They help me with my writing. They help me with my students. I can hear clear messages, particularly when I write and when I'm teaching. And the other is a deer. My other animal is a deer, which is about patience and gentleness and new adventures. And I think that the most important thing I've learned from the deer is to recognize that my nature is very gentle, and I can also be very, very strong and very demanding of myself, and it keeps bringing me back to my gentleness, reminding myself of it. And recently, in visualizations, I have seen an enormous cobra behind me with its head over my head, and this is about transformation. A snake is always about transformation.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you've shared a lot of things about yourself, so you know, the audience can get the idea of what you learned. Sometimes we sort of reject an animal that comes to us. Someone might get I know someone who's got a mosquito, or you get a rat or a bat,
right.
and yet there's something to learn from all of them. Well, we have to take another break, and we'll come back
okay.
and talk more with Lynn Singer.
Treat the body and expand the soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. In this all-inclusive retreat, you'll treat your body with breakout sessions in the various elements of nature. Enjoy fireside chats while harnessing the healing energy of fire. Allow more light with more ease and activate that connection between the body and spirit. Call 206-931-7356 or visit lynnmbrown.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9000. 972-5366.
Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit cambokiss.com. Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and we're talking about breaking into brilliance and awakening of creative consciousness with the author Lynn Singer. And so, Lynn, you shared with us a lot of things from the book, and I think you cover a lot of aspects of just being a human and what we all go through. You know, some things we didn't even talk about, how to deal with conflict, our shadow self, and also, I want you to share kind of your last thoughts of for the audience and about the end of the book. But one of the things that I want to share that you stated in the book is forgiveness is a turning point. We hold the anguish of our non-forgiving self, begin with compassion. And so, you know, that's a place to get to with ourselves is forgiving ourselves. And I think that's one of the aspects of the book of going through all these exercises and discovering about yourself and is to get to that place of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. I forgive myself totally, as in the book. It's green. It's big. And there's a whole attraction, I call the chapters attractions, that moves into this. And I think forgiving ourselves is absolutely key to everything. That once we start, and it's hard, and we can say it. It's like we can say the talk and we can't walk the walk, you know. But if we can say it enough and we can start to loosen the hold that we have on ourselves, that the society has brought to us. I mean, our society here is very puritanical, and it's moving out of that, but it's all of us have been brought up, you know, drinking that kind of Kool-Aid. And if we start moving out of the guilt through a deep forgiveness of self, taking our hearts to ourselves as well as to others, we have to start by loving ourselves before we can really love the world and love everything else in the world. And I really wanted, and I wasn't even aware of this when I was doing it, I realized it after I finished, that I had a struggle that was very strong, and I'm glad I'm very strong because I was able to do it. And moving through my struggle, I had many teachers who were quite judgmental, and from the old, what I think of as the old school, like some of the teachers I had when I was in grammar school and high school, who were very strict, and they were very excellent in that old way, but everything was fear-based. And I knew that I wanted this book to be in joy and in creativity. That is the awakening of creative consciousness, is awakening who we really are and how we can bring ourselves to ourselves through our own vast creativity and to begin to think differently about who we are and to learn to give ourselves some happiness through this. So forgiving ourselves and owning what we do, what we did, what might have made us unhappy, and how we made others unhappy, we have to look at it in a different way. We have to really look at it with more gentle eyes and come out of it in a new way so that we can go forward into happiness and more forward with our creativity into a new way of being. Forgiving ourselves is absolutely key. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes. Well, what last message do you want to give to people? We have a few minutes left. I know you've already stated, you know, about this happiness, you know, and bringing joy to people's lives. And and one of your phrases in the book is joy is a birthright. And sometimes we forget that, you know, because life, we look at it as a struggle, and we have all these day-to-day things to take care of and go through, and we forget to bring that joy with it.
It's just, you know, when we begin to turn, what is the song from U2? It's a beautiful day, you know, it's terrible out, it's raining out, the traffic's horrible, everyone's killing each other, it's just a terrible, it's a beautiful day. It's like we have to bring to ourselves, let's discard that. The only way to move forward and to bring joy to ourselves is to recognize that we have to bring joy to whatever we're doing. I loved doing the book. I loved doing the artwork. I loved everything about it. And then I began to realize I have got to create a business in order for the book to be in the world. And I'm looking sourly about that at my friends and my team and thinking, I've just got to find other people to do this. And I more and more and more had to learn the social media. And now I have to bring people in to do other things, you know, SEO, all the other things that are necessary. I love doing interviews, by the way, Chris. Thank you so much for this. I love this. But I had to learn to bring the same understanding of who I am and what I do to the work that I have to do to put the book into the world. And that was really an eye-opener. So anything, if we can do that during our day, if we can make all the tasks we do a part of our life in a way that brings us a satisfaction, if not joy, I think it's a huge movement forward. And to know that we can walk out of the fear-based schooling that we've all had, I think that's an immense important piece of information, to walk into our life with that. Maybe struggle isn't the word. There are tasks to do. We have come in to do things. We need to learn to do them well, and that they can be done also in joy. I had to learn that about the computer, that I had to make it fun. The computer had to learn to be fun. That was hard, but I did it. I love my work on the computer now.
Well, I want to share, and this might be a good place to end, and you can make a comment on it. Demand of yourself a wakefulness that uses all of you. Pour yourself out. Give yourself to the world. Imagine using your gifts in the biggest way possible. How would that change everything? And what you have done in this interview is shared how you did that. You put yourself out. You gave yourself to the world in doing this book and using your gifts, your voice, and, you know, creating a very creative book. Thank you for that.
Thank you for this interview. Thank you so much. It's been a joy to talk, you know, to do this. And thank you for your words, for your very kind words.
Well, thank you, too. Thank you so much. So everybody check out the online book, and you can buy the real book copy in a couple weeks.
It's but soft go cover. To
soft cover.
Soft
go
cover.
To breakingintobrilliance.com. But if you want an interactive book, buy the online book and then get into a whole system of really working it. So again, breakingintobrilliance.com. Well, I'm Chris Danis. I'm the founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. And like I said, we just got through our Give Big Day, but we're continuing our fundraising for support to raise a feminine consciousness. You can go to womanofwisdom.org. And also what helps Woman of Wisdom is the book that I wrote, this compilation of stories and art and poetry and some of the amazing, inspiring speakers that we've had at our conference in Seattle for the past 25 years. It's called Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And you can find that on our website, womanofwisdom.org, and just go to, I think we have a products page. It benefits Woman of Wisdom more if you buy it from Woman of Wisdom directly. But, you know, where you also can buy it, it's all good. And also, it's now available in the Kindle copy, which actually means all the art is in color. So you can buy, you can go to Amazon and purchase the Kindle book. So I think that's all I have to share right now about Woman of Wisdom. Just check it out at womanofwisdom.org. And thanks for being with us today. And we'll be talking to you again next week on Friday at 1 o'clock. I'll be having Daniel Hoffman, and it'll be we'll be talking about Thoth and the Tablets of Light, I believe is what it's called. It's all about Thoth and the Egyptian mysteries. Okay, have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.